want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4 and let's stand as we read these passages and then we'll get into the message. Chapter 4, Philippians, verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I want to teach and preach tonight, on how to support your missionaries. How to support your missionaries. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll lead us and guide us. And Lord, I pray this will be a help and a blessing to this church and to the good people of this church. And I pray, Father, as this church goes forward, expanding their mission program and adding more missionaries, I pray that, Lord, these principles and these Lord, these ideas and helps will be a blessing as they continue to support missionaries. And Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, and you'll be surprised how this material and what we're going to say tonight, a lot of people just have never heard before. They don't really understand about supporting missionaries and what to do. I know your church already supports several missionaries. I praise the Lord for that. And I know your pastor has a heart for missions. And I know he wants to expand your mission program and support more missionaries. And as you support more missionaries, you're going to want to know what you need to do as a church member. What kind of relationship should you have with your missionaries? And so we're going to look at some things tonight. First of all, I want us to look at the fact that missions, when we think of missions, we think of the gospel. Missions is summed up in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, where it says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Missions is summed up in this passage right here. Now, the question is, what is the gospel? Well, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, it is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The gospel is called the good news. It's the good news that Jesus Christ saves sinners. And we need to get the gospel to the whole world. Now, there are two types of Christians involved in missions. And by the way, everybody ought to be involved in missions. You need to be in one of the two of these categories, and maybe even both at the same time. There are those who go, and that would we see that reflected in Acts chapter 1 verse 18. The Bible talks about how when Jesus, before he ascended, he told his disciples that when the Holy Ghost came upon them, that when they would be empowered by the Holy Spirit, that they would be witnesses, starting in Jerusalem, and then to Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the uttermost part of the world. And there are those that go. We need the gospel to get to all those places. We need the gospel to get around the world. So we have those who go. In a missions conference, you have the missionaries. We have three missionary families here that are going, that are taking the gospel to certain places. So you have those who go. And then you have those who support those who go. That's important. We'll see a little bit later in Acts chapter 13 where it talks about the church in Antioch and how they sent Paul and Barnabas on that first missionary journey. You see, that was Paul's home church. His sending church was the church in Antioch of Syria. So you have those who go and those who support those who go. By the way, they both these groups need each other. Amen? Those who go need those who support them. And those who support need those to go. So that the gospel can be preached around the world. Now, in a general sense, every Christian should go with the gospel to the lost. In a general sense. I believe that every born-again child of God ought to be a soul winner. You ought to be a witness. You ought to always be ready to witness and to share the gospel of Jesus Christ no matter where you are, no matter where you live. Every Christian should go. Every Christian should be a soul winner. Every Christian should go across the street, across town, to the highways and hedges, wherever he or she can go. But we can't go everywhere, can we? We can only go to the places that are near where we live. We can't go to places like Panama, places like Russia, and other places around Argentina, Africa, Australia, China, you name it. We can't go to all those places. Therefore, we need to send others so they can go where we can't go. But where we are, we need to be a witness. We need to get the gospel to our neighbors and our loved ones and those in our community and around our community, and then send those to places that you and I cannot go. So we send to where we cannot go, and that is where the missionary comes in. Thank God for missionaries that are willing to go to places that you and I cannot go. Aren't you glad about that? Thank God for those that say, here am I, send me, I'll go. And so I wanted to establish this, the importance of those who go and those who support those who go. And so let's look at how to support your missionaries. It's basically three things I'm going to bring to your attention tonight, three main points, three ways that we ought to support our missionaries. First of all is we support them by praying. In other words, we need to pray for them. Pray for them. If you were to ask these missionaries, I know I felt like this as a missionary. If you ask these missionaries, what is the most important thing that you can do for them? I believe that they would tell you, pray. Pray. Prayer is the most important way to support a missionary. That is the most important thing that a missionary can possibly receive from God's people is prayer. They need prayer more than they need anything else. Yes, they need finances. Yes, they need necessities and possessions and material things and all of that. But they need prayer. The Apostle Paul, who was a missionary, said in 1 Thessalonians 5:25. He said this, brethren, pray for us. We need to pray for the missionary. William Carey, a missionary to India. He was also known as the father of modern missions. He said this. He said, yonder in India is a gold mine. I will descend and dig, but you at home must hold the ropes. Someone goes. Someone goes down. Someone goes and digs in the mine and get the gospel to places that you and I cannot go. But we need to hold the ropes as we lower the missionary into those places. And he was so right. We need to pray for our missionaries. Pray for them. Now, how do you pray? Now, here's the thing. A lot of Christians, they just, you know, when they pray for missionaries, they'll pray like this. Lord, bless all the missionaries. Amen. You know, Lord, bless missionary so and so. Maybe they'll name names, or maybe they'll say bless the Hansons in Panama, or bless the Bartels in Russia, or bless the Steels as they work among churches that are starting in the United States and so forth. But we need to be specific when we pray for our missionaries. And most Christians aren't. I'm going to be honest with you. Thank God for those who pray specifically for their missionaries. But I'm going to teach you tonight how to pray for your missionaries and what to pray for. Let's look at some things. All right. First of all, we need to pray for God to call Christians to be missionaries. That's the first thing on the list. First thing on your prayer list when it comes to missions is pray that God will call people to be missionaries. We need more missionaries, folks. Fewer and fewer are surrendering to the foreign field. And we need to pray. The Bible tells us in Matthew 9, Jesus talked about the harvest, didn't he? And Jesus said, it says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous." Now, we don't have a problem with having enough people to reach. Amen? The problem isn't the harvest. The problem isn't that there aren't enough people to preach to or witness to. Jesus said the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. There's just not enough soul winners. There's just not enough missionaries. There's just not enough church planters. Then here's what's the next word after that? What word do I have underlined here? Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So we need to pray that God will call more people to the mission field and that those people that are called will respond and say, "Here am I, send me." I believe God's calling a lot of folks, but they're not listening and they're not responding and they're not surrendering. Oh, we need to pray, folks. Every Christian, listen, I mean every Christian should be willing to go if God calls. For years, I rejected the idea of being a missionary. Kind of like what Brother Isaiah was talking about, how he really never thought about being a missionary. And I was the same way in Bible college. My goal was to be a pastor in the United States. And, you know, I didn't really think about being a missionary. And in fact, I kind of had a bad attitude about being a missionary. I'll be honest with you, when I was in Bible college, I thought, well, you know, if you can't be a pastor, you can't be an assistant pastor, you can't be an evangelist, well, then maybe you can go to the mission field, you know. That's a terrible attitude. But that's how I felt about it. I had no idea that one day God would call me to the mission field. In fact, for a while, I resisted it. God began to work in my heart as an assistant pastor. And in fact, every time I would see a presentation, you know, if missionary had come into the church, I would be cringing. Lord, please don't call me there. Lord, please don't call me there. And finally, when I saw a presentation in 1986 of Argentina, and God really, really touched my heart, and I said to the Lord, I said, "Lord, if you ever call me to the mission field, but I don't think you will. But if, Lord, you ever call me to the mission field, but I don't think God will. But if you ever call me to mission field, I'll go to Argentina. That's where I'll go." And you know what? He wouldn't let me rest. I mean, he kept putting Argentina in my heart for 2 years. For 2 years. Argentina. And I'd go to bed thinking about Argentina. I'd wake up thinking about Argentina. And finally, in 1987, I said, "Lord, here am I, send me." But we need to pray for more laborers into the mission field, into the harvest. And the question is, are we willing to pray? Are we willing to pray for those that we love to go to the mission field? My father-in-law. He was a good Christian man and loved the Lord. My father-in-law, Robert Pearson, he prayed for years that God would call at least one of his children to the mission field. And when my wife and I told him that God called us to the mission field, he rejoiced. He was so excited. He was so happy. And now he has two grandchildren on the mission field. And so he prayed for years. A grandpa that prayed for years, Lord, and a father, Lord, please call one of my kids. Call my grandkids. And the Lord answered that prayer because he prayed that. Are we willing to pray for the young people in our church to go? Which brings me to the next one. We should pray that God would consider us as missionaries. That's the first one. Amen. How about you? How about me? I said this last night. The question that every Christian should ask is not why should I go to the mission field, but why shouldn't I go to the mission field? We need to pray that God would consider us. And here's the attitude a lot of people have. Me, a missionary? That was my attitude for a long time. Me? Nah, I would be a missionary. And every Christian ought to pray, Lord, do you want me to go? Amen. Lord? And then we should pray for God to call our children and grandchildren. And some parents and grandparents are saying, wait a minute now. Come on now. I don't want my grandchild to go to Africa or Asia or some dangerous place like that. I believe that we ought to pray. As I mentioned, my father-in-law prayed for a child or a grandchild, and the Lord answered that prayer for him. Are we willing to pray for the young people in our church? You know what? You ought to pray that God will call someone out of this church. That God will call a young person out of Gospel Light Baptist Church to go to the mission field. Pray for your own children. Pray for your grandchildren. We need to pray for that. When I surrendered to the mission field in 1987, it inspired others to go. Five of the teenagers in my youth group eventually went to the mission field after I surrendered. One of those was Clint Reardon. And God will use that. And we need to pray. We need to pray that we would consider the mission field, but that our children and grandchildren would. And here's a picture. This is a picture of my seven grandkids. Aren't they precious? Amen. And these are my, and three of them, you know, the three in the middle there, Hope and Emma and Liam, they were here for last year's missions conference with their parents, Brother Kyle and Laura Harrison. And I've got other grandkids there. You know what, folks, I would love it if God called one of my grandchildren to the mission field one day. That would be a tremendous thing. I love my grandkids. I love my children. I love my grandkids. But you know what? And by the way, some parents will say, well, I don't want my grandkids to go. I don't want my children to go because it's dangerous, and I don't want them in that situation. Let me tell you something. The safest place for your children and your grandchildren to be is in the center of God's will. The worst place they could be is out of God's will. And I want my kids and my grandkids to be in God's will. And if God calls them to the mission field, I'm praying. Amen. I'm specifically praying that God will send at least one of my grandchildren to the mission field one day. We need to pray. We need to pray that way, folks. And then next, we need to pray for open doors of opportunity. Pray for open doors of opportunity around the world. Are you listening? All around the world. This would mean opportunity for missionaries to get to the field and for certain countries to open for the gospel. Paul urged the church to pray for open doors for him. In Colossians 4, he said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And we see that God later opened the door for Paul to go to Macedonia. He shut one door and opened another. We know this from Acts 16. Now, when they had gone throughout Pergia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, Paul wanted to go into Asia with the gospel. Holy Spirit said, no, that's not where I want you to go right now. He shut that door and opened up another door. It was to go into Europe. Thank God Paul went to Europe with the gospel. Most of us, we come from European background. And he brought the gospel to Europe, first to Macedonia. We know about the Macedonian vision, right? And the man in the vision saying, come and help us. And that's what this passage is about. So one door was closed, another was open. Pray for open doors of opportunity for the missionaries and for countries to open up. Many doors are closed today, but prayer can open them up. Some doors are closing even now, but prayer can keep them open. We need to pray that certain missionaries will be able to enter their countries by getting their visas and paperwork. You need to pray for the Hansons that they'll get their paperwork. They'll get their permission and approval to go into the country and get their residence. Pray for the Bartels that they'll be able to get into the country. And pray for your missionaries that have doors that look like they're closing. We need to pray for open doors and for doors to stay open. Pray for closed countries to open. Amen. This is an interesting list. This list right here is, according to an article, the top. This is within the top 50 countries where it is most difficult to be a Christian. Most of these countries are closed. This would be the top 10 most difficult countries to live if you're a Christian. The first one doesn't surprise me. North Korea, Afghanistan, Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Sudan, Eritrea, Yemen, Iran, India. Most of those are Muslim countries. And we need to pray that God would open the door for those countries and that the gospel can go in and people can be saved. And then next, we need to pray, number three, pray for spiritual success and blessing for your missionaries. Pray that God will give them spiritual success and bless their ministries. We need to pray for God to open doors despite the opposition. And we see that here. It says in 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. We need to pray for success on deputation. Pray for these missionaries that are trying to raise their support. Don't wait till they get to the field to start praying for them. Pray for them now so that they'll get their support. Some pastors do this. I don't mean to be critical towards pastors, but it kind of bothers me when a pastor will tell a missionary that we'll start supporting you when you get to the field. You see, missionaries need to be supported on deputation right now so they can get to the field. Amen? So pray for success on deputation. Pray that God will keep them safe as they travel. They're putting in miles and miles and miles. We put in 85,000 miles on a Chevy Chevette with no air conditioning back in the 80s. We went to, I think we were through 35 states and put all those miles on. These missionaries are putting miles and driving all over the place, and they need protection. They need God's blessing. So pray, and then we need to pray for success on the field. Once they get to the field, pray that God will bless them and bless their ministries. And we'll get into that specifically in just a moment. We need to pray for the ability to speak the language. Most missionaries have to learn another language. The Hansons will have to learn Spanish. And the Bartels will have to learn Russian. God bless your heart. Listen, you need to pray that these missionaries will learn the language. They need the prayer. And Paul talked about this. He said in Ephesians, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance, that's talking about the language and speaking, may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need to pray for the missionaries to get the language, because they cannot be effective if they cannot speak the language. You can only go so far with an interpreter or an interrupter, as some would call it. They need to learn the language. The people will not accept them if they do not learn the language. It's important that they learn the language. If a missionary cannot speak the language of the people, they will not be successful. It has been said, the greatest compliment you can give a foreign people is to speak their language. That's the greatest compliment you can give them. When I became a missionary, when I started deputation and started my missionary endeavor, so to speak, the greatest challenge was not raising support, though that was a challenge. It wasn't getting through deputation, though that was a challenge. It wasn't getting into the country or adapting to the culture. It was, without a doubt, learning the language. That was the thing that concerned me the most. I'm not going to say worried, but I was very concerned that I would get the language. And I have people, even today, they'll say, what was your biggest challenge as a missionary? Learning the language. As a preacher, as a pastor, how important is language? How important is the ability to preach and teach and witness and so forth and so on? So it's so important. You need to pray for these missionaries about learning the language. We had to learn the Spanish language Argentine style. If you want to know what is it, what's Spanish Argentine style? Well, it's like an Italian speaking Spanish, using their hands. And there were over 8 million Italians living in Buenos Aires. Very much Italian influenced and Spain and European. And so these missionaries need to learn the language. These here are the supposedly, according to an article, the 10 most difficult languages to learn in the world. Mandarin Chinese, that doesn't surprise me. Arabic, that doesn't surprise me. Japanese, Hungarian, Korean, Finnish, whatever Basque is, Navajo Indian, Icelandic, and Polish. And I would say probably Russia is going to fall into the top 15. I wouldn't be surprised. And pray that these missionaries will learn the language. And they need prayer and they need help as they do that. So pray for your missionaries. And then we need to pray for their teaching and preaching. Pray that God will bless them and give them the power to preach and to teach. In Ephesians chapter 6:20, it says, "For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Acts 28:31, look at this. Paul tells this about Paul, the missionary, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Regardless of the language, missionaries need to be effective in their preaching and in their teaching. I remember my first sermon in Argentina was about 5 months after I got there. And I probably sounded like a 3-year-old. Okay, and I mostly read it. In fact, I pretty much read everything word for word. And in the middle of this message, about a 10-minute message, that's about all the Spanish I knew. And there was a guy in the back that was, I mean, he was drunk. I mean, he started yelling and screaming at me. Now, I didn't understand enough Spanish, thank God, at that time to understand all the expletives that he was yelling at me. But I did hear words like Yankee and, you know, something American and Americano and something bad. But he was letting me have it for some reason. And that was my first experience preaching. So pray for the missionaries in their preaching and in their teaching. And then we need to pray that the missionary will accomplish his goals. Did you notice on Brother Hansen's video the goals that he listed? Did you see that? Our goals are, you know, win souls and start churches and train nationals and all of that. You need to pray that your missionaries will accomplish the goals that they set. In 1 Thessalonians 3:2, it says, "And sent Timotheus, and our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ." That's goal number one, is to get the gospel to people. To establish you. They want to go and establish Christians. And to comfort you concerning your faith. Comfort's another word for encourage. That's what these are some goals right here of missionaries. Getting the gospel, establishing and comforting, encouraging in the faith. Pray that they reach their goals. How about this one? Acts 2:41. It says about the apostles in the church in Jerusalem. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." These are the three main goals that any pastor has, that any missionary has. Number one is to see people saved. They received the word, that means they got saved. Amen? Second goal is baptized. These missionaries want to win people to Christ, baptize them, and then the third one, it says they were added. They were added to the church. I want to see these converts become members of the church and grow. And to pray that your missionaries will be successful in reaching their goals and accomplishing things. This is the Victory Baptist Church in Buenos Aires, Argentina. This was our church. This is one of our anniversaries. I think it was the 12th anniversary. We were there for 15 years. This is just every year we'd have our anniversary. We'd get everybody out there in the front. We had people back in that hallway, and all we couldn't get everybody in. But God bless, we were able to see goals accomplished. We were able to see hundreds of people saved, baptized, added to the church, discipled, serving the Lord. And this here is our children's church we had. This was our junior church. And you're wondering probably, why are they doing this? Can somebody guess why are they doing this? What? That's right. They're singing "I'm in the Lord's Army" in Spanish, of course. And then this was for years we didn't have enough room. We couldn't put everybody in the auditorium. We had a small gymnasium we built. We put the kids in there, and here's all the adults in our main auditorium. And I believe that because of prayer, we were able to accomplish our goals. And eventually turn the work over to the nationals that we trained and put it into their hands. And then next, number six, pray for their safety. Pray for the missionaries' safety. We live in dangerous times, don't we? I don't think there is a real, true, safe place. Other than God's will, amen? But you know what I mean. Anywhere in the world, there's danger. There's possible danger. Many missionaries live in dangerous places. In Buenos Aires, Argentina, the crime rate rose 40% during the last 5 years that we were there. Our church had been broken into and robbed several times over the years. Members of the church and my family had been personally robbed or physically attacked. Many of my fellow missionaries were robbed, attacked, and even kidnapped. Two fellow missionaries were kidnapped. Today, missionaries are in constant fear of terrorism, anti-American sentiment, and on it goes. Last year, in October, a missionary by the name of Charles Wesco was killed in Cameroon. He finished his deputation. I don't know if you heard, preacher, about him. Out of Indiana. And independent fundamental missionary, Baptist missionary. And he and his wife and family, they finished deputation. They got to Cameroon there in Africa. They were there, I think, 2 weeks. Something like 2 weeks. And another missionary that was there took them downtown to the main city there, and they were going to go shopping, go to the marketplace, get some food, get some things. Well, there's a civil war going on in Cameroon, and they got caught in a crossfire, and a bullet hit Charles Wesco in the head and killed him 2 weeks after getting there. I'm going to say a little bit more about him tomorrow night. That has to do with our church. It's really a neat story. But missionaries live in dangerous places. You need to pray for their safety. Pray for their safety. A missionary serving in Argentina just came home after being held at gunpoint in their home, the Ferraris. So pray for their safety. You need to do that, folks. Pray for their safety. And then quickly, pray for their needs. Pray for their needs. Missionaries have tremendous needs. And the following are to consider for you to pray for. Okay, we'll go over these quickly. The language, we already talked about this. Pray that they learn the language. Pray for the climates they live in. For example, some missionaries live in extreme climates, extreme heat, humidity. Some live in sub-zero temperatures. You got extremes right here between these two missionaries. This guy right here is going to go basically to the jungle, Panama. It's basically jungle. It's going to be hot. Yeah, it's going to be humid, and no snow, no winters. But this guy right here is going to Siberia, folks. We're talking about the deep freeze, okay? He told me today, he said, they won't even consider canceling school in Siberia unless it's at least 167 below zero. Did I get that right? Oh, 60, not 167. What do I mean 167? 67. I think you would all die if it was 167, right? Okay, scratch that one. 67 below, but still, 67 below zero, and then they'll cancel school. Then they'll think about it, right? So you're looking at extremes here. Pray for these missionaries, folks, in these extreme, difficult climates. Some will live in jungles, some in big cities, some in a high altitude, some in a low desert, and so forth. Then pray for the customs they have to adapt to. Each country has its specific customs. Some are more extreme than others. Nevertheless, the missionary needs prayer to have the wisdom, listen, the wisdom to be able to discern which customs he can practice and those he should reject. You can't accept every custom. I'll give you a quick example. And we're going to talk about something to drink here, okay? In Argentina, because of the Italian influence, the Spanish influence, the Mediterranean influence, almost all Argentines will have a glass of wine with every meal. They drink wine like water. In fact, some of them drink more wine than they do water. Okay? We would go to a home, not church members later on, but go to a home, prospective people for the church or to win to the Lord, always offer us wine. Of course, immediately we say, no, we don't drink alcoholic beverage. And so, but it was a custom. It's to be Argentine is you drank wine. And that's a custom that we had to reject because of biblical conviction. But there was another type of drink. It was it's a herb tea. It's a green-leaved herb tea that they put in a metal cup. And they put the leaves in, then they put hot water in it, and it's a metal straw. At the end of the straw, it's a filter, and then they put it, and then they suck it like that. It's a hot green tea. It's called mate. And what they do with that is they'll get together, 5 or 6, maybe 10 people, and they'll have one cup, one straw, and they put the leaves in, and then they'll put the water in, and then somebody will drink it, then they'll put more water in, and they'll hand it to the next person. And they pass that thing around. And if you don't, participate, you're cold. You're insulting them. And now, it wasn't an alcoholic beverage. It was a green tea. So we accepted that. We adopted that custom. And it went a long way for us to win Argentines to Christ. That's just a small example. But you need to pray for these missionaries. Pray for their physical and emotional needs. Besides food and clothing and shelter, missionaries need prayer for all their physical and emotional needs. They need protection from sickness, which often comes from disease and infested areas. They often live in places with poor health care, unqualified doctors, and dirty hospitals. They also need prayer for possible mental breakdowns due to loneliness, discouragement, stress, exhaustion, and even depression. Yeah, I've known many a good missionary that got discouraged and even depressed and had to come home. You pray for these missionaries, their physical and emotional needs. You pray for their spiritual protection. Not only are missionaries on the front lines of a spiritual battle, but they are targets of Satan. The devil will do whatever he can to get a missionary off the field. He will use temptation, discouragement, money, marriage problems, you name it. He will especially go after their children, the MKs. The missionary needs to be built up by prayer. Then there's family needs. There are many needs that a missionary has within their family. His marriage to be strong. Listen, missionaries are not super Christians, okay? Missionaries are Christians just like you are, with the same temptations, the same flesh, the same weaknesses. They need to be built up and supported by prayer, just like your pastor does, and all of us. Their marriage to be strong, the needs of the missionary wife and their children. Missionary kids are always a target of Satan. Prayer should be made for the missionary kids' education while on the field. One of the most difficult decisions that you guys are going to make is educating your children. And difficult tasks. It's not easy to educate your children on the mission field because, you know, most cases you don't want to send them to the schools there. And so these things we need to pray about. Another need is the family's health and protection in hostile and foreign environments. And there's financial needs. Missionaries on deputation need prayer so that they can raise their support. Missionaries already on the field need prayer for additional support and to have their needs met. And I want to say tonight that your prayers, everyone in this room, your prayers can make a difference in the life of a missionary family. It can, I'm telling you. Your prayers can keep a mission. Your prayers can get a missionary on the field, and your prayers can keep one on the field. Quick story. We were on the field our first term for 5 years. Got to Argentina, and we were there for 5 years. Then we came back to the States. 5 years is a long time, especially nowadays with how easy travel is. We stayed for five. And I'll be honest with you. There came a point. It was in the fall of 1994. The devil was attacking. There were things in our ministry just weren't going right at that time. We were struggling. I was discouraged. I was really discouraged. In fact, I thought about just throwing in the towel. I really did. I thought, well, when we go back to the States, I'm probably not going to come back. I really felt that way. I was discouraged. And so we went home, and I was still considering going back, but I was discouraged. And then after being home for a while here in the States, we felt better about it. But back before we left in November, it was in November of 1994, was the lowest point I had, the lowest point. And I really, seriously, was going to throw in the towel. So we went back to the States. We were in our home church, Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais. I'm not going to tell you who this person was. But a lady walked up to me, and this lady said, "Brother Harrison, were you guys going through a real hard time last November?" I said, yeah, we were. How'd you know that? Because I didn't say anything to anybody from the pulpit or anyone, you know, one-on-one. I said, yes, we were. It was a very discouraging time. She said, I don't know why, but God impressed on my heart to pray for you and your family every day that month. Only God knows if the prayers of that woman, that one lady, kept us on the field and pulled us up out of that discouragement and that difficult time. Your prayers make a difference, folks. Amen? Okay, we're going to go quick here. And this was most of it about praying. I hope this has helped you on how to pray for your missionaries. All right, and quickly, another thing we need to do as far as supporting our missionaries, not only pray for them, but provide for them. Pray for them and provide. The Bible talks about, and because of time, in Acts 13, it talks about how Paul and Barnabas were sent out from the church in Antioch. Notice the last phrase, they sent them away. The home church in Antioch sent them. I don't think that the church in Antioch just said to Paul and Barnabas, well, God bless you, fellas. And John Mark was with them, too, at that time. God bless you three fellas. We're going to be praying for you. We'll see you. I don't think that's how they sent them away. I think they sent them away with provision. In fact, when you study that term, sent, it gives the idea of them giving them resources to take with them. Now, they didn't have a crate or they didn't have cars and they didn't have planes. But I wouldn't be surprised if their pockets were stuffed with currency of that day and things that they needed in that area. And so we need to provide for them. We need to provide for them through financial support. Missionaries need money. It's just, folks, it just like your preacher said the other day, it's that simple. It takes money to get a missionary to the field. It takes money to win souls. It takes money to build churches. It takes money to start churches. It takes money to raise up Bible institutes and so forth and so on. Yeah, you could take the word, I probably should have put this up there, but you could take the word souls, S-O-U-L-S, and where you see the S's, put dollar signs. Because that's what it takes to win souls. They need to be supported financially. We don't expect missionaries to go to the foreign field and work a job. In many countries, they're not permitted to work a job. So they need churches to support them financially. Paul was supported. Paul received offerings. We find that in Philippians. When Paul talked about communicating, he said, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. This is talking about giving and receiving. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning what? Giving and receiving. So he's talking about giving and receiving of monetary gifts. And he said, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Once and again. That has the idea of sending just more than once. On a regular basis, folks, just like you do, just like my church does. These missionaries need support on a regular basis. And Paul received that kind of support. Now, quickly, what happens to the church and the individual who supports missionaries financially? Huh? What happens if you give to missionaries? Three things, quickly. First of all, their fruit is your fruit. Philippians 4:17, Paul said, not because I desire a gift. I'm not desiring your money. That's not first and foremost. But I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Did you know every soul that these missionaries win is also your fruit and your account? Every church that is started, every soul that is saved, every soul that is baptized, every soul that is discipled, every work that is done by the missionaries overseas goes to your account. Good reason to give the missionaries, amen? The second thing, if you give the missionaries, it pleases God. That'd be enough right there. It pleases God. What does Philippians 4:18 tell us? It says, but I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, talking about the offerings, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, what does it say? Well-pleasing to God. You give the missionaries, it pleases God. And then thirdly, if you give the missionaries, God supplies your needs. You supply their needs. God supplies your needs. This verse, we have it memorized. We use it all the time. We talk about it all the time. We apply it. But did you know that this verse is specific for mission giving? It's in this same passage. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, because you give to missions. Amen. We need to provide for them financially. Also provide through special offerings. Special offerings should be given every quarter at our church, Grace Baptist Church. We give special offerings to about 5 or 6 projects. This is separate from the regular monthly support to help out with different projects. And so we do that. And then lastly, 3 ways to support your missionaries. First one was what? Pray for them. Second was provide for them. Third is pay attention to them. For the sake of alliteration there. Okay. Pay attention to mission. You know, a lot of people aren't paying attention to their missionaries after they get to the field. What should we do? First of all, read their prayer letters and updates. I dare say 5% or less of Christians across America in our churches read the missionary prayer letters. Most churches post them. I tell my people all the time, get in that fellowship hall, read those prayer letters. Now, we do have a missionary of the week, and we do read prayer letters. A lot of churches do that. But you know what? You ought to go and read those prayer letters. And their updates and so forth. And communicate with them. Communicate with them. How can you communicate with the missionary? Well, by emails. How many have access to email? Okay. All the missionaries have email that I know of. You can email them. And trust me, they're going to love getting an email. Texts. You can even text nowadays to missionaries. Unbelievable. And letters. You could write a letter. If you're just old school and you don't want to write the letter, write a letter. Amen. They'll appreciate getting that. Write letters. When I was a missionary, when we got to Argentina in the late 80s, we had no internet. We had no email. We had no computers. It was snail mail. And it often would take 3 months for a letter to get to the States or to get to us from the States. And we had telephone, too, but it was $8 a minute. $8 a minute. That adds up real fast. You know, you talk for 20 minutes, do the math. So, email, text, letters. Remember special days. Remember their birthdays. Think about their birthdays, their anniversaries. Christmas, you might want to send something to a missionary for Christmas or for their birthday or something like that. And then this one, visit them. Now, in order to do that, not everyone can. I understand finances and time. But if you can possibly take a missions trip, you will not regret it. And let me say this, at least send your pastor on missions trips. Send your pastor on missions trips. Every other year we do one. My church will send to me. Send. This was our last missions trip we took just in June, late June into July. We went to Canada. I know that's not far. We went to Canada, and we had a special day, a big day there for the missionary, and I had the opportunity to preach. And so I tell you what, a mission trip, it will change your life. A mission trip, you young people, if you can take a missions trip, what a blessing that is. And a blessing to these missionaries, if you can do that. And did you know that in 15 years in Argentina, only two of my supporting pastors came to visit us. In 15 years, I only had two visits from supporting pastors. One of them was your dad and your mom. That was the first time she ever left the country. You probably heard the story about her getting robbed. Her purse got stolen in a restaurant. And somebody ran up their credit cards. I mean, thousands of dollars. But they were able to cancel them and get all that worked out. But visit your missionary if you can. Visit them if you can. So, in conclusion, I told you this was going to be real practical. Okay? And just in review, three main ways that you can support your missionaries. Pray for them. And I've showed you tonight specifically how to pray for missionaries. Two, provide for them financially. Three, pay attention to them. Communicate with them. Amen. If you can, visit them. And you will be a good supporter of your missionaries. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the missionaries. We thank you for those that are willing to go. And we're also thankful for those who are willing to support those who go. And I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for Pastor Nash and his burden, his vision he has for missionaries. And I'm thankful that these good people have caught that burden. And Lord, help this church to be a good supporting church and to put these things in practice. Bless these missionaries, Lord. Bless the Bartels. Bless the Hansons. Bless the Steeles. Bless their ministries. And all these things we need to pray for concerning them. Lord, help us to be those who send and support. And may we please you as we do it. In Jesus' name, amen.